We have a great crowd this morning, and we have a great opportunity to come and spend some time in God's Word, and I'm glad that you're here. The Lord has blessed us with another day, and we get to come and worship Him. And I hope that our worship service this morning, as we've just sung, will light a fire in us, will encourage us, will stir us up to greater service. I'm glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here as well. As I mentioned in the Bible class, it's good to see Abraham back home. And this is the time of year, a lot of times, when family are coming and going, and it's certainly good to have them with us. I'm going to mention some names this morning from God's Word, and you tell me who these individuals are. Shemua, Shaphat, Igal, Hoshea, Paltai, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, Geuel. Who are those individuals? Now, if you had said that to me, and I hadn't had a chance to look at my Bible, I'd be wondering, who in the world are those guys? But I'm going to mention two other men that go with these guys, and you're going to know immediately who these men are. How about Joshua and Caleb? Do you know those two guys? So if those two guys are with the other guys, who are the other guys? Well, we're talking, of course, about the 12 spies that went out and spied out the land of Canaan, right? We all know about Joshua and Caleb. We don't know about the other 10 that much. This morning, we're going to talk about one of those that we know very well. We're going to talk about Caleb. If you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we will begin there, but eventually we will be making our way to Joshua chapter 14. So if you can remember Numbers 14 and Joshua 14, those are two great chapters that we will put together this morning. And borrowing from Caleb's words, give me this mountain, that's what we have entitled our lesson for today. Of course, you remember and you recall that when the children of Israel leave Mount Sinai and they come up to Kadesh Barnea, that in chapter 13 and verse 1, God tells Moses to send out these 12 spies, one from each tribe, to spy out the land of Canaan. And they go out and spy out the land of Canaan, and we know the story in chapter 13 and 14. If they come back, the 10 spies give an evil report. They say, we cannot go up. There's giants in the land, and it's going to be too hard. We can't do it. All discouraging. And then there are Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb who say that we can do it. Let us go up and possess the land. Let's do this. We can do this. And in chapter 14, beginning in verse 4, the congregation of Israel gathers together and Joshua and Caleb say, we can do this. God will be on our side. Don't rebel against the Lord. But the people listened to the 10 spies that gave an evil report. They listened to the discouragement, the lack of faith, as so many times people do today. They would not listen to Joshua and Caleb, and so as a result, Israel has to wander in the wilderness, and those who are 20 years old and upward are going to die in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb are not, because they're faithful and they wholly followed the Lord. Move forward about 45 years and turn with me now to Joshua chapter 14. There's the wandering in the wilderness for approximately another 38 years. There is about 7 years of entering into Canaan and conquering the land of Canaan. And turn with me now to Joshua chapter 14. We come up to the part of the book of Joshua where there is the dividing of the inheritances in the land. Now it's time to give the land to the various tribes of Israel. In chapter 13, the 2.5 tribes on the Transjordan or the eastern side of the Jordan are given their allotment. And in chapter 14 and 15, Judah is going to be given its allotment. And when it comes time for Judah to be given its allotment, there's a man who stands up of the tribe of Judah named Caleb. And we're going to take our lesson this morning from his words in Joshua 14, 6 through 15. In just a moment, we will read that text. Brethren and friends, my question to you this morning is, are we faithful to God all throughout our life? And as we go throughout our life, what are we asking for? What are we asking God for? You pray on a regular basis, right? What do you ask God for? What do you ask God for in your prayers? What are you requesting? What's on your mind? What do you want? We're going to see that after Israel gets into the land and it comes time to divide up the land, that Caleb has a request. He says, give me this mountain, the older version, some of the newer versions, give me this hill country. But I like for a sermon title, give me this mountain. You know, preachers get that choice, you know, we just get to choose. But whether it's give me this mountain or give me this hill country, we find a request, and I want this attitude of Caleb to be in our life today. And we're going to find, when we read verses 6 through 15, we're going to find three things here that Caleb brings out, and we're going to look at them this morning, but in reverse order. I want this morning to look at what was requested. What did Caleb request? Number two, I want us to answer the question, when was it in his life that he requested this? And number three, who was it? What kind of a person is Caleb that would make such a request at this time in his life? And I think when we answer these three questions, we're going to see some important lessons for us today. As I said, we're in the portion of the book of Joshua that deals with the dividing up of the land. In Joshua 1 through 5, Israel enters into the land. In 6 through 12, they conquer the land. In 13 through 21, they divide up the land. And in 22 through 24, they live within the land, and Joshua tells them how to do that. We're in the part of the book of Joshua that is the dividing up of the land. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only time in 13 through 21 where there is a speech given by someone in the dividing up of the land. This is a portion of the book of Joshua where you get into it in just a little ways and you're wanting to skip several chapters because it's chapter after chapter of boundary markers, and geography, and it went over here, and then it went up here, and then it went down to this ascent and back, and you're like, man, I'm skipping over this stuff. But in chapter 14, there is a speech that is given, and it's very important for us. And I want to look at that today. Let's read in the text, Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. The first five verses, Israel has gathered together. Now it's time for the inheritance to be given to the tribe of Judah in particular, and they gather together at Gilgal. Joshua and the other leaders are there. They're casting lots. They're dividing up the land. Let's see what happens when it comes time for Judah. Verse 6, then the children of Judah drew near unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that Jehovah spake unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and concerning thee in Kadesh Barnea. This is back in Numbers chapter 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. That's Numbers 13 and 14. And we know that he and Joshua, the word that they brought back was, yes, there's giants in the land. It's a good land. There's giants, but we can do this. Let's go up. God will be on our side. The other 10 said no, and the children of Israel listened to them. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren, the 10 spies, that went up with me, made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed Jehovah my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to thee and to thy children forever, because you have wholly followed Jehovah my God. Now, remember that Caleb is speaking verse 6 to Joshua. He's telling Joshua things that Joshua is going to be, yeah, I know all about that. I remember when we did that 45 years ago. I remember that. And you and I, we were faithful to the Lord. Joshua is thinking, amen, brother. So Caleb is rehearsing these things that Joshua would have been aware of and would have been in agreement on. And verse 10, and now, behold, Jehovah hath kept me alive as he spake these 45 years from the time that Jehovah spake this word unto Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this hill country, whereof Jehovah spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and cities great and fortified. It may be that Jehovah will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as Jehovah spake. And Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed Jehovah, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. When you read the other dividing up of the territories, like I said earlier, it's a list of boundaries and places and geography. And it continues on for several chapters, like I said. But this is the chapter that contains a speech. And it's a great speech. Let's look at Caleb's words this morning. Caleb is going to talk about himself a little bit. Number two, he's going to talk about his age. And number three, he's going to make a request. I want to take those in reverse order. Let's start with the request in verse 12. I ask you this morning, what was requested in verse 12? Now therefore give me this mountain. What is Caleb requesting? I'm not talking about the physical mountain or the physical hill country where Hebron is. I'm talking about what is the nature of this request. Look at verse 12 closely. It contains some giants, and it's going to contain some fighting. I want you to notice this morning the nature of this request. And I want us to ask ourselves, what are we asking for each and every day that we live? What was requested? Caleb did not ask for something easy, brethren. He asked for a challenge that involved giants and fighting. And so the question that I raised this morning is, what are we asking for? What we ask for tells us something about who we are. What we're asking for each and every day tells us something about the Christian that we are. Right or wrong, good or bad. Turn with me to chapter 15 when it comes time for this to actually play out in chapter 15 and verse 13. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, gave a portion among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of Jehovah, to Joshua, even Kiriath Arba, which Arba was the father of Anak, the son of Hebron. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir before was Kiriath Sepher. And he goes on to say, and Caleb said that he had smitten Kiriath-Sepher and taken it. To him will I give Achish, my daughter, to wife. Now Othniel, who becomes later in the book of Judges, the first judge, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it and he gave him Achish, his daughter, to wife. This is a place that's got to be fought for. There's giants there and I've got to fight for this place. What are we asking for, brethren? What are we requesting? Caleb requested that he remain active for the Lord all throughout his life. He didn't want something for nothing. He wanted to work for it. He didn't say, would you just put something on a silver platter for me? Would you just throw it into my lap? I've been working hard for the Lord these last 45 years and you know, I'm sort of at the end of my life. Would you just give me something easy from here on out? Is that what he asked for? What are you and I requesting in life? When a particular situation comes up tomorrow, how are you going to ask for that? What are you going to say about that? Health situation, job situation, family situation. What are you going to ask for? Look at what people ask for today. What do they ask for? They ask for the opposite. What are we asking for? He asked for a challenge. That's what makes us grow. That's what makes us better. That's what makes us more faithful. And I want our younger generations to hear me out. You're living in a world where it's all about, give me the easiest route. Give me the easiest route to take. Give me the easiest choice to make. I don't want anything hard. I want it all to be easy. That's the world you're growing up in, young people. Do not buy into that. It will not make you better. What is our daily request? We've got to be very careful. Are you requesting mediocrity? Lord, just give me a mediocre life. Lord, give me a safe life. I just want to play it safe. Just give me the status quo. Give me my comfort zone. Lord, don't ever take me out of my comfort zone. I just want an easy, in my marriage and in my family and at work, I just want the easy way out on everything. Is that what we're requesting? That's what so many in the world are. That doesn't make us better. I want to stay lukewarm. Lord, keep me on the sidelines, because if you put me out there on the field, I might have to do some work. I don't want that. I want to be on the sidelines where the easy life is. Brethren, what are we requesting? And I've been there. It's tempting in your prayers to request something in between A and B. Boy, I'm going for B. That's the easy one. I've been there. I realize how easy that is to ask for that. But it's the challenge that makes us better, not the mediocrity, not the comfort zone, not the lukewarmness and the easy way out and the silver platter. And here it is, thrown on your lap. You don't have to do anything. To work for it makes us better. To sacrifice makes us better. Look at what he asked for. If there's anybody that could ask for, well, now I want the easy way, it would be Caleb, and he still refused to do it. You see, retirement there. I'm not talking about physical retirement from work. I'm glad we've got several here who are retired from work, and I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you can have that in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual retirement. I'm talking about retiring from the Lord. I've gotten to the point in my life where I just want to coast from here on in. That's not good for us. Let us be doing all that we can be doing. Let us be asking for challenges, not the other. The other just simply leads us to that very point. We become a mediocre Christian. We become a safe Christian. We become a status quo Christian. We become a comfort zone Christian. And those are the ones who are not out saving anybody. Those are the ones who are not out laboring hard in the local church. Those are the ones who are not out volunteering to do things in the Lord's kingdom. They're over on the sidelines playing it safe. Let us be the one who says, "Give me this mountain." Go for the challenge, not the easy way out. What a great lesson that is for us. But let's take the second thing that Caleb brings up in this great message. And you can just picture it, his fellow Judean brethren standing around him, and Joshua is there. And he's saying this. It's just impressive. He brings up his age. So first of all, we've got to analyze, what was it that he requested? He requested growing, abounding, excelling, adding, increasing. When you turn in your New Testament, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to add to our faith, 2 Timothy 1:5. You read about abounding. Paul talks about abounding in the very passage that Bob read around the Lord's table. If you look at the verse right above it, it talks about abounding in faith, abounding in knowledge, abounding in different things. That means you're growing, you're excelling, you're doing more. In the New Testament, it's about doing more, not playing it safe. Men, are you going to take on the challenge one day to become an elder? Let me ask you that. Are you going to do that? Well, I don't know. I'm going to play it safe. Men, are you going to take on the challenge one day to become a deacon, to be a gospel preacher? Well, I don't know. I think I'm just going to play it safe. No. Take the challenge. We need good men in the Lord's church to do those things and many other kinds of things. Take the challenge to be a Bible class teacher. Well, I've never done that before. Okay. Work on that. Improve yourself. Work on that. Volunteer. Take on the challenge. The New Testament is talking about growing and abounding and excelling and adding and increasing. Lord, increase our faith, Luke 17. Increase our faith. Not, I just want to be a mediocre status quo Christian. I want to be more faithful. In Matthew 25, verse 29, in the parable of the talents, and then in Luke 19, the parable of the pounds, which is basically teaching the same lesson. There's a little bit of diversity there in what Jesus is trying to make from different angles, but basically teaching the same lesson, that we need to take what we have and increase it and grow. And when the one talent man buried his talent, look at Matthew 25, 29, Jesus said, even that which he has is taken away from him. So when we do the play it safe, comfort zone, mediocre life, then even things that we have are slowly taken away from us and we become unfaithful. We've got to always be adding and growing and excelling and increasing. But there's a second thing that Caleb brings up, and that is his age. And so the second question is, when was it requested? When was it requested? Look at verse 10. It's when he's 85 years old. You would think that this would have been a request from a young whippersnapper, just a young fella, 25 years old. Give me this mountain. I'm 25. Give me this mountain. He's 85. What does that teach us, brethren? That teaches us that we need to keep making these kinds of challenges and requests all throughout our life. He makes this at the end of his life. He says he was 40 years old, Numbers 13 and 14, when he went and spied out the land. If you add on another about 38 years of wandering in the wilderness, you add on another 7 in conquering the land of Canaan, the first few chapters of Joshua, it brings you up to 85. What a great man to want to remain faithful all throughout his life. And here he has a mature faithfulness. You would think that this would have been made by a young man. It's not. It's made by an older man. And as we get older, we need to keep being that kind of person give me this mountain? Now somebody says, well, verse 11, it sounded like he was still physically strong at 85 and I'm not. And you would be right about that. He was physically strong. But we can still learn from the lesson, even though we might not be physically strong at the end of our life, we can still be spiritually strong in mind to want to have these challenges in our life and our service. And I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to keep serving up to my dying day. Brethren, that needs to be us. It reminds me in the New Testament of the Apostle Paul, who kept growing all the way to the end of his life. He kept faithful all the way to the end of his life. A few years before his life comes to an end, in Philippians chapter 3, he's saying, I'm pressing on toward the goal. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 4 and verse 13, a few years before the end of his life, he's saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And right at the very end of his life, in 2 Timothy 1:7, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. In 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. You've got a man who's wanting to keep going all the way through to the end. And that's what Caleb was. Brethren, we need to be like that. Wow. You hear, did somebody just say, give me this mountain? Who was that? Oh, it's that 85-year-old guy over there. What? I think about these younger Israelites who, 20 years old and younger, that had been through the wilderness and now they're getting divided up, the land's being divided up. They're looking over at this old guy. Wow. What an example for us. I hope they took that example. Who said, give me this mountain? The old guy. What a great example for us today. And let us be like that. This is not just about a dry, boring section of Scripture with a bunch of boundary places in it. We come to chapter 14 and we see a great lesson. Let us apply it in our lives today. And then, last of all, in verses 6 through 6 and following, we learn not only about Caleb's request, give me this mountain, not only do we learn about the age in which he made the request, all the way at the end of his life, showing mature faithfulness all the way to the end, but we learn something about the man himself. Who in the world would say, give me this mountain? It takes a special person. It takes a special person at the end of their life to ask for a challenge that involves giants and battling. What kind of a man would do that? Let's look at that. And we'll be that same type of person today. We'll find ourselves asking for challenges all the way up to the end if we have these spiritual qualities in our life. Let's look at this man. Caleb was not an ordinary Israelite. He wholly followed the Lord. That is mentioned here in this text. It is mentioned other places in Scripture, as we will see in just a minute. He wholly and totally committed his life to the Lord. And on top of that, if you look at verse 6 and verse 14, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, it could be that in his past, he even had Canaanite blood in his past. In Genesis 15:19, where the Kenizzites are mentioned, they are mentioned as Canaanite people. Some suggest that a man married an Israelite woman of Judah, brought in that way, converted like Rahab did, something along those lines, he ends up in the tribe of Judah with this Canaanite past. That's a very big possibility for the understanding of that text. And if that's the case, then you have a man that is completely and totally committed to the Lord with a past that was even outside Israel. In other words, anybody can come in and be totally committed to the Lord. the three places where Kenizzite are mentioned in the Old Testament, two of them are with Caleb, and the other one is in Genesis 15, where it's talking about Canaanites living in the land. And that's even more impressive about this man. Let's see now in detail what kind of a person he was. Come back with me now to verse 6, and let's go down through the text again, and let's notice several qualities of this man. Who in the world requested? Who in the world, at the end of their life, makes a request, give me this mountain? Number one, someone who truly believes in the Lord. You know the thing that Jehovah spake unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and concerning thee in Kadesh Barnea. Turn back to Numbers 14:21. Numbers 14:21. God said that you, Caleb, in this land that you've been walking around on, you're going to get some of it. I believe that. That was 45 years ago, and I believe it to this day. People who truly believe in the Lord's words are people who ask for challenges. Come with me to verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He's talking about the faithful report that he and Joshua brought back. We can go up and take the land. Let's do it right now. God will be with us. It'll be hard. There's giants, but God will be with us. He was faithful to the Lord. And the other 10 said, no, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they discouraged the brethren. And Numbers 14:1, the Israelites start murmuring and complaining, oh, we can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb said no. And I want you to underscore in your Bible, in verse 7, it says, I brought back what was in my heart. You underscore that in your Bible. A lot of times we talk about, I just want to tell you what's on my heart. That's actually not a bad thing. Ultimately, everything comes from the heart. I talked about the heart this morning on the radio program. Ultimately, everything comes from our heart. The problem is not that it's on your heart, but what's on your heart? Caleb said, I just said what was on my heart. He came back and he told the truth. Some versions say, I told you honestly. He was honest about what was going on. There's giants in the land, but we can go up there and take it. Let's do it. He came back and gave a truthful report, a faithful report, an encouraging report, and I just said what was in my heart. The problem is not if it's in your heart or not. Everything is in our heart. But make sure that what's on your heart is matching up with the truth of God's Word. But I like that statement. I just said what was in my heart. While everybody else, the other 10, they're taking people away from God. Look with me at verse 8. He was truthful. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, the 10 spies, made the heart of the people to melt. He was truthful. He was truthful. I've got to tell you the truth. These 10 guys, they made the hearts of the people to melt. They discouraged them. It was an evil report. They shouldn't have done that. He was just truthful. Today, you know, don't ever talk about the negative or let's act like that didn't happen long ago. He said, my brethren, they shouldn't have said what they said. You begin to see what kind of a man this man is. And it is no question that he's asking for a mountain. And it's no question that he's doing that at 85 years old. When you and I have these qualities in us, and he was completely and totally committed. But I wholly follow Jehovah my God. Look back at Numbers 13 and 14. I did that despite the majority. The majority, the 10, they're saying don't do it. I wholly followed despite the majority. I wholly followed even though it wasn't popular. Young people, you follow the Lord when it's not popular and when you're not in the majority, just do it. When you're at school, when you're at work, when you're out in the community and things like that, just do it. Wholly follow the Lord. Years ago, we went through I remember preaching back in the 90s. There was all kinds of books on being totally committed, total commitment. It got overused and overworked so much that people maybe didn't really think about it as much as they should. But that is a great statement. We need to be totally committed. That's the kind of person all throughout life that is going to ask for these kinds of challenges. And back in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 10, the congregation wanted to stone them with stones. You bring up the truth, people around you don't like it. Well, let's get rid of them. He was totally committed despite the majority. He was totally committed despite the fact that his life was threatened. And we need to be like that today. And that statement, wholly following the Lord, shows up twice in the book of Numbers and in Deuteronomy 1:36. That's the kind of person that's going to be asking for these kinds of challenges all throughout his life. Look at verse 9. Caleb was trusting. And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to thee and to thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed Jehovah, my God." I trust what Moses said to me. Now it's time for that to be given to me. And there are a lot of things in our life, right? We know all the Bible passages about prayer and, being faithful in this way and faithful in that way. Do we really trust those passages? If we do, we will ask for challenges. And sometimes when the statement is made in Scripture, the promise, look at verse 9, Moses swear on that day, you're going to get this land. Later, some 45 years later, when it comes time to do it, if the land has some giants in it, then so be it. That's a part of the promise. There are things, brethren, in the New Testament where God is telling us that this is what we're getting as a Christian now and in the days to come. And it might have some giants in it. That's right. And it might have some battles in it. That's right. But that's a part of that promise, and we've got to work through that and be a part of that in order to get the inheritance. Turn with me to verse 10 as we keep going down through the text. Caleb was grateful. "And now, behold, Jehovah hath kept me alive as he spake these 45 years. Wow. Thank you, Lord. You've kept me alive all these years. He was grateful to the Lord, grateful for the Lord's providence, grateful for the life that had been extended and hadn't been snuffed out earlier. Thank you, Lord. This is the week of Thanksgiving, right? And he was patient. The Lord kept me alive these 45 years from the time that Jehovah spake this word unto Moses, Numbers 14, while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm just being patient. Wandering around for 38 years, and then going up the eastern side of the Jordan and coming back down on the plains of Moab, then crossing in to Canaan and conquering it for 7 more years. I've been patient for 45 years. Give me this mountain. Sometimes, brethren, we have to be patient. But these are all qualities and characteristics of a godly, faithful person. Turn with me to verse 11. He was strong, and I believe this is talking about physical strength. And as we get older, if we're losing our physical strength, that's fine. We can keep our spiritual strength. Ephesians 6:10, we can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and we can be strong spiritually to fight the battles that we need to fight, even though we might be physically weak. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us that as we get older, there's going to be some things that go. I was talking with an older sister recently about this, and we were kind of joking about things that happen to us as we get older. And in Ecclesiastes, it says there that, remember God in the days of your youth before the evil days come. And she said, well, when I think about my body, things are pretty evil these days. When the evil days come, eyesight's gone and hearing's gone and teeth are gone and a lot of other things. She said, my days are pretty evil. We all understand that when we get older, there's going to be some physical limitations, but we can remain strong in heart and in mind and in character. And then look at verse 12, this famous, give me this mountain. This is not Caleb being proud. This is not Caleb being selfish. He's asking for the very thing that was sworn to him, verse 9. And now it's come time, and he has this confidence about him. Give me what God has promised me. And even if there are giants in the land, it may be that Jehovah will be with me and I shall drive them out. You underscore that in your Bible. The confidence of that. The confidence of that. Brethren, that's what we need in our lives. So as we close this morning, what kind of a Christian are we? What kind of requests are we making of the Lord each and every day? Let's not make the easy comfort zone, keep me in my mediocrity way of living, but give me this mountain. Number two, let it be all throughout our life, even as we're getting older. This is the way we're going to be. And number three, we've learned of the character that we're going to have to be this kind of person. Let's wholly follow the Lord. Get up each day, say, Lord, give me this mountain. Now, for you this morning, the give me this mountain may be stepping forward to be baptized into Christ. That may be your challenge. Let me encourage you to accept that. It's tempting and easy to say, well, no, I'm just going to hang back here in my comfortable, easy zone. That's where the devil wants you to stay. So your mountain might be coming and being baptized into Christ. Your mountain as a child of God might be something that you're facing this morning. We have to face things in marriage and family and other things. Okay? Life has its mountains. And you're going to remain faithful. You're going to pray. You're going to live right. That might be your mountain. It could be a number of things. We don't know what's going on in everybody's lives this morning. A lot of things go on in people's lives. But whatever it is, let's face it the way Caleb faced it. Let us go down in the pages of history as the brother and sister in Christ today that wholly followed the Lord. And you look at people in the Scripture. People in the Scripture who said, in essence, give me this mountain, they're the ones that you remember. Noah said, give me this mountain. It's called an ark. That was very difficult to build, right? Jesus said, give me this mountain. That was in the shape of a cross, right? Those are the ones you remember. Those are the ones who have done good for the plan of salvation. And that's the kind of person that we need to be today. Not one person that I know of in Scripture that said, I want to be a mediocre, sideline person. Were they doing something great in the Lord's cause? Let's go out each and every day and say, give me this mountain. And if we can help you to have yours this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing?